Welcome into the whole show. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios, ready to rock and roll on this Thursday. Got the Thursday night special coming up later on. Gotta get that right. We gotta find, but this is a weird one tonight. Eagles and Texans, and okay, yeah, Eagles probably win this thing, but the spread, anytime I look at an NFL game, Angel, and I see a spread of more than like 10, it's scary because you're asking a team to ultimately win by two touchdowns. 13.5 is the spread for the Eagles. So this will be, I don't know, maybe interesting tonight, but another bad game on Thursday night, you think?
I don't know. You kind of get the feeling that the Eagles might be sleeping into this game. That, oh,
maybe.
It's just the Texans.
Maybe.
We can beat them. And it's a game like this where an undefeated record can go by.
I keep waiting to see if the Eagles are not for real. Like, they're 7-0. Are they that good? And yeah, every week they end up answering the bell. So I guess, yeah, we see tonight. How do you go up against a bad team? Look at their schedule, though. I mean, Lions, the Vikings weren't getting it right, and now they're good. But at that week two, they weren't great. Commanders, Jaguars, Cardinals, Cowboys, Steelers. So that's the thing. Like, the Eagles are 7-0, and I'm not taking anything away from that. You got to beat the opponents that are in front of you, but they haven't really. Now, if they played Minnesota today, that might be a different game. Who knows? But they have the Texans and the Commanders coming up, and then the Colts, and then the Packers, and then the Titans. Dude, is there a realistic chance? I'm looking at the rest of the schedule for the Eagles. You know, tonight the Texans, Commanders, Colts, Packers, Titans, Giants, Bears, maybe they're better with Chase Claypool, Cowboys, Saints, and then Giants. Is there a chance the Eagles can run the table through the rest of the season? I mean, that is a tall task. So, yeah, you got to get through games like this that maybe don't. And it's Thursday night. You know the old saying, anything can happen on any given Sunday or whatever. Thursday's starting to feel like the anything can happen type day. Short week, whatever. But, yeah, 13.5 right now. So we'll talk about that later on in the program. Busy show. We have Kevin Lytle going to join us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. A little CSU talk. Also, Tad Boyle, CU Buffs head basketball coach, entering his 13th season. He needs 8 more wins to become the winningest CU coach of all time. So, heck of an opportunity coming up for Tad Boyle this season. He'll get that. But how good will the Buffs be? Every single year, I think it's safe to say you could chalk this team up to get around that 20-win mark, you know, and at least be in the conversation of an at-large bid. So we'll discuss that later on in the show with Tad and what his team looks like. You know, Tristan Da Silva, who's the leaders on this team, and we'll get into that. So basketball is upon us, a big Monday night coming up. We'll have UNC Bears at Houston right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFK, as well as 1310KFK.com. Method Flow Products poll question of the day. We're kind of staying on this Bradley Chubb stuff because, Angel, it's weird. Every single week, what have I told you about the Broncos? We always have something that's kind of a negative surrounding this team. Even after they beat the Jaguars, they get a win. It was a desperately needed that win. But the talk is not that. It's Bradley Chubb. It's, did this signify a waving of the white flag? So that's our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Do you think the Bradley Chubb trade means the Broncos are waving the white flag on the season? You can go vote at theholeshow.com. And this one, it feels different than it did with Von Miller. And I don't know exactly why. Last year, it did kind of feel, again, you had Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock. They were all at their ceilings. I think we all deep down kind of believe we can get better from Russell Wilson. Even the most negative Wilson fan at this point has to maybe think that there's more than what we've seen from Russ. This can't be as good as Russ is going to be with the Broncos. So that's the thing that is a little bit different for me than last year. You traded off Von Miller for trade picks or for draft picks. And you were going back into the second half of the season with Teddy Bridgewater as your quarterback. So it does feel a little different, but what do you think? 58% of the hooligans say no. They don't think that means the Broncos are waving the white flag on the season. And again, that just goes into a couple of things. The fact that this defense is really good. The fact that Baron Browning, Randy Gregory, when healthy, when they are playing, have been just as good as Bradley Chubb. Nick Bonito, at least for one game, looked not just as good, but it looked like he's kind of starting to figure it out. Tall task for him coming up next against the Titans next weekend. And, the big challenges. Can he step up? That was the idea. That's why they drafted him, with the idea that Bradley Chubb probably won't work out and they're probably not going to re-sign him. So this was, to me, this was kind of the plan anyway. You know, George Payton was asked, hey, if you're 5-3 or better, are you still trading Bradley Chubb? And he said, yes, the value is too good. You're going to take a first rounder there. And you also pair that with the fact that Baron Browning's playing good football when he's healthy. And you drafted Nick Bonito to ultimately take over for Bradley Chubb. So, some of those Broncos fans that are just like, the sky is falling, this was a terrible move. This was kind of the plan in the offseason, was to draft a guy like Bonito and replace Bradley Chubb, put pressure on Bradley Chubb. How about the Dolphins? They re-signed Bradley Chubb, or they gave him the agreement, a 5-year deal, $110 million extension. Incentives can boost to $111.25 million, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. So, yeah, I mean, that's a big risk, Angel. I'm just telling you, man, that's a big risk because of his injuries. He's had, one full season in his career. So we'll see if that one works out for Miami. Had a chance to do some Denver radio work last night, and we talked to George Cherui, if I could say that right, from Pro Football Focus. And he, more of the national perspective, he kind of intimated that the Dolphins, as we talked about, overpaid, and he's not sure that Bradley Chubb is really worth overpaying. So he was even going more of the negative route than I was. He talked about the Broncos saying, honestly, it does nothing. You kind of stay pat. Bradley Chubb was not the greatest of difference makers for you, and you kind of like the depth at that position. So whether or not the Broncos are going to be a playoff team or just fade into existence, it doesn't change either way with Bradley Chubb at this point. And I feel the same way for the Broncos. Again, with the Dolphins, did that do enough to move the needle to get them up around Bills and Chiefs territory, top teams, the AFC? I have a hard time saying that because I didn't think Bradley Chubb was a great player and a difference maker. Good player. So does a good player come in and change things for the Miami Dolphins?
Yes, and this is not Bradley Chubb is going to be the only effective person on this defense. He is going into what is now a 5-man rotation on the defensive end with a number of guys that the Dolphins have. And I think he's just going to be, for the first couple of weeks, he'll probably just be a rotational piece and just filling out, see how he fits with the scheme and what they can do with him. But I think also it kind of takes a little pressure off of him that he doesn't have to be the best player on the defense now.
Which is why I think he'll probably churn out a pretty good season. And this is why I'm cautioning Broncos fans. Like, you're going to see maybe a Bradley Chubb game where he goes off and has 2 sacks and you're going to go, great, we traded that guy. Well, he's going to be a part of a team that's with an offense that gets leads. You can pin your ears back and all of that. So, yeah, Chubb's probably going to go on and have a decent end of the season. He could see 5, 6, 7 more sacks or whatever, quarterback blitzes and just hitting the quarterback, whatever, affecting the pass game. It very well could happen. And if you're Miami, it should happen this season. You're expecting him to be great. That contract says, we believe that he's a great player. We traded a first-rounder for him, and we turned around the next day, and we signed him to a 5-year extension. It's a lot of money. So they are investing in Bradley Chubb. I think if the Broncos would have done the same thing, we would have 50-50. I think Broncos country would be split. I think they would say things like, is that a good contract, given the fact that this guy has only played one full season, and really he's had... His rookie season was great. Outside of that, has been good. So, yeah, the questions are up there. So that's why I don't feel that this is the Broncos waving the white flag in any sense. I don't think it moves the needle either way. They didn't get better, but I would tell you right now, when I watch Baron Browning and I see him in games, he looks just as good as Chubb. And then time will tell if Nick Bonito will get it going. All right, Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly from last night and, well, just kind of the trends through the week. Good, the Bad, the Ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more information on our deals with FMS Bank, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. Well, the good, I don't have a dog in the fight in the World Series, so I just root for as many games as possible that we can sit down and enjoy. So the Astros even up this series. They get the win. Just went off. It was like the complete opposite of the night before where the Phillies ran the table. So here we go. This is setting up to at least be a fun World Series. And we got it all tied up tonight, 6:03 in Philadelphia on Fox. Should be a lot of fun there. The bad is, if you are thinking like Brian of Good Morning NoCo, that the Texans are going to pull off an upset, they're going to have to do it without Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks is disgruntled. He is not going to play. He wanted to be traded. He wasn't traded. He is not going to play tonight. He publicly complained that when it was said he wasn't being traded, he complained about it. So he's been ruled out of the game tonight. That's a tough one. You know, why not just trade the guy at that point? You know, obviously it's too late now, but if you know he's publicly not wanting to be on your team, that's a tough look. That's a really tough look for Houston.
No, it's tough, and I'd have to look at his contract details, but I think he just signed an extension with them or before the season started. So, you know, on one part it's, hey, I want to get out of here. The other is, hey, you need to finish your contract because you signed it.
Right. And that's...
And, hey, we're a rebuilding team. We need all the help we can get.
We need everybody on board. And that's a difficult spot to be in. And tough situations continue for the Houston Texans. The ugly for me is just looking at the Nuggets right now. They're back in action tonight after Sunday. We haven't seen this team since Sunday. They lost to the Lakers. They gave the Lakers their first win of the season. They are 1-3 on the road. Is that a cause for major concern? Not necessarily, but it's just ugly because if that trend continues, it's not going to be pretty in the month of November. More than half of their games this month are on the road, beginning tonight at Oklahoma City, who is maybe a better team than we thought. Again, it's so early. You have to be. And the Nuggets are 6-point favorites tonight on the road against an OKC team. I think, what are they, 4-3? They're over 500. So, got to handle some of these teams where you're heavily favored to win. And I guess we'll find out. But I don't know if Bones is going tonight. But outside of that, you got Jamal Murray. You got Michael Porter Jr. This should be. A Nuggets win tonight, but they got to get it right on the road, especially considering they have so many road games in the month. So Bones is listed as day-to-day. Ish Smith is listed as day-to-day. So outside of that, you should be good. But Bones, when he's on, he is perfect, a perfect bench player. When he's off, you see it. You see the fall off there. That's the difference I'm seeing right now on the bench is when Bones Highland is at his best, he's not forcing things. He's kind of letting it come to him. That's when the bench is at their best. But when Bones decides, hey, I need to prove something. I need to get out there. I need to force the issue. That's scary. That's when it gets tough for Bones. So I want to see some growth there with him. He has the intangibles. He has the athletic ability. He has the scoring ability. He's got to pick his spots better. So if he plays tonight, I'll look for that. Not sure if he's going to go. That does affect your bench. Although Bruce Brown coming off the bench still has been, that's been a very good move for the Nuggets going forward.
Yeah, and I think the thing with Bones, I agree with what you said, that he can be kind of one way at one night and then the other way another night. I think for him, it's a lot of chemistry with that bench unit. You saw it with him and DeMarcus Cousins last year, late into the season. They really developed that chemistry off the bench, and maybe he can start to develop that a little bit more with Jordan.
Yeah.
And get that 1-2 punch going off the bench.
That's the thing. When I see it, when I see DeAndre Jordan and Bones work in, I mean, it's they're small sample sizes right now. You look at it and go, that could be a great combo coming off the bench. But we haven't seen it that much just yet, maybe as we progress. So that's something I'm really keeping my eye out for. I'm not concerned about the starting unit. I think Jamal Murray's just going to keep getting better and better and better as he goes. Michael Porter Jr. is looking aggressive, and I love to see that, not just on the shooting end, but he just looks more heady. He looks more into it on the defensive side of the ball. I think Michael Malone said he's trying on defense. And I know you don't want to say that about professional basketball players, that he's trying, but there's a lot of guys in this league that they just kind of go through the motions on defense. Porter is trying to become a better defensive player.
Definitely. You see his effort is very much improved. You see he might even get beat at the top of the key right in a transition. Even if the guy gets past him, he's right there to get a rebound if it's available.
Yeah.
And he's putting in that extra bit of effort.
Yeah, right now, like his rebounding has been really good. He is second on the team behind Nikola Jokic. Nikola Jokic is averaging 11 boards per game. Not right behind him, but Porter's averaging 7.5. That's pretty good. He's ahead of Aaron Gordon at this stage. So Porter he has a nose for the ball. He's so athletic that when he can use his strength and just get up there, pull down a board and hold on to it, he's going to do some big things. All right, a lot to get to. More on that poll question today. What do you think the Broncos are really planning for the rest of the season? Listen, there's no incentive for them to lose games. There's zero incentive for them to tank because they don't have the draft. They don't have the pick. They have San Francisco's pick. So I still feel that this team is looking at these next three games as, hey, win these games that aren't against the world beaters, and we are right back in this thing. You got Tennessee coming up, so we'll see how that one unfolds. 22 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. You're listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farokmanesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show. Lemons Heating and Cooling. Get that system up and running. The temperature, whew, a little chilly out there today. Going to get a little bit colder, and we might get some of the white stuff surrounding us throughout northern Colorado. Lemons Heating and Cooling will make sure that that heater is up and running. Maybe you need a tweak. Maybe you need a brand new system, and you're thinking about it. It's probably time to do that. 970-567-0798. Again, that's 970-567-0798. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. Method Flow Products poll question of the day, available at thewholeshow.com. Do you think the Bradley Chubb trade means the Broncos are waving the white flag on the season? Kind of interesting when you look at, you know, a couple of the guys they got throughout this this process and who they were looking to get and pick up and what they could do ultimately with, you know, trading Bradley Chubb, getting the first round pick, getting, you know, Chase Edmonds at running back. It's going to bolster the depth chart. I don't know how much he'll actually be used, but you know, there's an opportunity there for him to try to play a little bit better, to play better for this team when they do need a little bit of depth for sure. And then they get Jake Martin, local guy too. I mean, he played college football at Temple. But he's a Denver guy, so that's kind of cool. Education was at Cherokee Trail High School. And we'll see if he can add a little something. I mean, 15 sacks over his career thus far. He's not a difference maker, but he does add depth where, you know, you push a little bit harder, especially now while you're waiting on Browning and Randy Gregory to get healthy. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Nuggets back in action tonight against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And kind of like what we talked about, the road struggles, it's hard to say it's a struggle yet because it's just 1-3. But this is the early portion of the season where you want to prove that you can win on the road. I tell you, dude, survive November. And then it's a lot more friendly after that. December, a good chunk of your game, most of your games are at home. So this is a key month for them. And they start this, look at this stretch, man. At Oklahoma City tonight, home against San Antonio on Saturday, but then back on the road against San Antonio on Monday, then at Indiana, then at Boston, then you're at Chicago with a home game between New York in the mix, but then you're back on the road two in a row against the Dallas Mavericks. You're on the road again on Wednesday, November 23rd at Oklahoma City, then in L.A. It's going to be a battle. And you just, you know, at this stage, you kind of just want to start seeing glimpses, more and more glimpses of everybody working together a little bit. You know, Christian Brown, I think, has been the surprise of the season so far. But last time out for him against the Lakers, he was a non-factor. That's what you're going to see with rookies. I always caution people. You got to be very careful with how you know, what are your realistic expectations of rookies. Bones Highland, I remember having Chris Dempsey on the show of Altitude TV to start the season. And Chris is like, dude, Bones is probably not going to play much this year. But that just, again, knowing Jamal wasn't going to come back, I think Michael Malone wanted to hurry his progress along, so they played him a lot more in the early portions of the season. And that paid out. And I think Malone, through Bones Highland, learned a little something about himself, that you can play these rookies early, get a meaningful minutes, like actual meaningful minutes when they're in games and you're playing these guys, mixing them in with your starting rotation a little bit, and then that can pay off down the road. I think what we're seeing with Christian Brown is going to pay off in a big way in the playoffs. I really do. I'm not saying that Brown's going to come in and be the star of the playoffs, but a good player off the bench that could help you down the stretch when you are going more like seven or eight guys deep.
Yeah, and Christian Brown has such a pedigree of, you know, basketball throughout his career, playing at Kansas, high school championships, all that. He knows how to play at the big time level, and you can see that when he's on the court.
Oh yeah.
He doesn't look rattled. He doesn't look like he's rushing. He's just very comfortable, and his teammates are embracing that aspect of him and encouraging it. And for a young player like that, we saw it with Bones, if you get that chemistry, your team will pick you up and get you through those rookie struggles.
Yeah, and I've seen this group kind of coach him up too, not just Malone, but you're seeing Joker go up to him. You're seeing Jamal Murray talk to him a lot. Bones Highland obviously is a big fan of his. You know, Bones loves this guy. So seeing that early is big. This is what the early portion of the season is all about, is developing chemistry, especially when you have a lot of new faces on this roster. And I guess, you know, Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray, they kind of, they're not new faces, but they kind of are, because they weren't there last year. And so, and Jamal's been out for, you know, what, a season and a half almost. So seeing him back in the fold, it kind of feels like a new addition to the team. So this starting lineup, a lot different, feels a lot different than it did last year with Jamal, KCP, MPJ. Those guys weren't in the starting lineup last year. And then having Bruce Brown come off the bench, Bruce Brown has been, like, Christian Brown's been the surprise. Bruce Brown's been like, we knew he was going to be good defensively, but his scoring has been a really nice, a nice pickup for this Nuggets team. So going up against the Thunder tonight, we'll see how that one unfolds. 32 minutes after the hour, Kevin Lytle is going to join me from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And let's talk a little Colorado State, where we are at this stage in the process with Jay Norvell. They got smoked by Boise State. They got a few games left to kind of see what this team is. I'm not expecting a major comeback turnaround here where they could get into a bowl game. They'd have to win out, right? So that's not going to happen. But can we see enough progress to give us a lot to look forward to into next season? 33 minutes after the hour. Kevin Lytle coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back to The Whole Show. Glad to have you guys with us here. Kevin Lytle joining us now on our First Advantage Hotline. Kevin, let's talk CSU football first. A tough weekend for the Rams as they got smoked by the Boise State Broncos. They lost that one 49-10, and we'll see if they can turn the page the rest of the season. But that was a rough one. We had a feeling Boise State was going to win fairly easily, but not quite like that.
Yeah, it got lopsided really fast, and that kind of derailed any chance of CSU competing and to be, you know, not sure fair, you know, not making excuses here, but that's the best Boise State has played all year. That's what everyone up in Boise, you know, the folks that cover them daily, said they kind of clicked on all cylinders there, which they hadn't done. And that's obviously not a good recipe for CSU, because, you know, they need, for that game to be close. CSU needed to play probably their best game and probably needed Boise to be a little off as well. And neither of those happened. So, yeah, a rough night in Boise, which frankly is just kind of how it goes for CSU. It seems like, especially every time they go up to the blue, it turns ugly pretty fast. That's what happened in 2020 as well. So kind of just same old story for CSU and Boise State.
Well, and Boise State's Talon Green, he's going to be a problem in the Mountain West, isn't he, for quite some time?
Yeah, he looked really good. I mean, he's shown flashes, and, you know, it started, you know, as a running quarterback. That's what he was doing the first few weeks. But as it's progressed, you know, defenses are trying to keep him in the pocket. And along with that, he seems to really be progressing as a passer. You know, yeah, CSU definitely didn't execute and create difficulties for him like they would hope. But you also have to give him credit. He was making some throws, and he was on the money. And when he did have to run, that 10-yard touchdown run was pretty impressive as well. So that guy, you know, if he can do that consistently, that's a big problem. Obviously, that's the next big question for him, but certainly a big talent.
What did you make of, I know you put together an article getting a lot of quotes from Jay Norvell, kind of talking about Boise State and, you know, hey, that's where we want to be. We want to be at the top. That team every single year, no matter who they have at quarterback, whatever, they're at least projected to do something pretty big in the conference. And Jay Norvell's looking at that team kind of saying, hey, we got to get to that point. We got to get stronger. We got to get faster. We got to get better.
Yeah, it's kind of in every way, and it kind of echoes what Norvell's talked about, you know, most of the season, that they're just not good enough, which, you know, is true. All of us with eyes, you know, agree with that the roster isn't good enough. And it's not just your top-end players, it's depth, too. I mean, Boise State had a number of injuries. You know, things weren't, you know, set up perfectly for them, but they just have the depth and the size and the strength. I mean, it kind of looked like, you know, a varsity against a JV type of scrimmage just as far as the, you know, physicality difference. So, yeah, that's where CSU needs to get. They need, you know, long athletic players, and they need to get stronger in the weight room. They need to get bigger, and certainly they need more depth. I mean, CSU's in that, you know, in the high 50s in scholarship players right now. So it all kind of came together and basically just showed where CSU is and where they need to get to.
And that'll be the big thing going forward, right? We're excited about Jay Norvell. But now, you know, again, there's still work to do this season. But obviously, we're already kind of looking on to next year because we feel maybe that's going to be the year you start to see things click with this four air raid thing. But bottom line, Kevin, you can't hope to really have a crazy passing attack like the four air raid is supposed to be without a solid offensive line giving the quarterback enough time to step back and find those receivers.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely, you know, probably top priority, I would say, this offseason is to fix that. And, you know, I remember saying in August that the one unit CSU could not afford injuries to was that offensive line. And so, lo and behold, what happens? The most injured unit on the team is the offensive line. So, you know, some bad luck there, but two, obviously, just not enough depth. Both in quality and quantity. So they've got to get that unit going. Because, yeah, you can't sling it around if you can't protect the quarterback. And, you know, we saw in that first half, Clay Millen was getting hit a lot. I think they had Boise had four sacks in the first half. So, you know, it just can't happen. You know, you have to fix that.
What do you think? And again, I think I ask you every week about Clay, because I think that's what we're also watching, because, yes, you got to get the offensive line right, but the quarterback has to be kind of a special player to ultimately run this four air raid style. What are your thoughts right now? Again, every single week with his growth, he was out for a couple of weeks, so that slowed some things down, but kind of wanted your thoughts there.
Yeah, I mean, still, you know, okay, I would say. You know, if I were grading him on the season right now, probably be like a B minus maybe. You know, hasn't been anything, you know, spectacular, but also hasn't been bad. He generally makes the throws. You know, hasn't been spectacular in any game either, though. And that's kind of what Boise was. You know, there was some misfortune. You know, I remember the first drive, you know, it was like a 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5, something like that, and he had, I think it's Avery Morrow on a little slant that would have been a first down. And, you know, he throws it, you know, straight between Morrow's hands and bounces off his face mask. You know, that has to be caught. You know, he threw the deep ball to Justice Ross Simmons. That was just a beauty. But on the other hand, you know, there are a lot of, you know, quick, short check downs, which, you know, you can understand why. But, you know, it's not really moving the ball much either. So, you know, I think Clay's doing just fine. And, you know, I don't think you can be too frustrated with anything he's doing. It's just such a young, inexperienced group. I mean, you look at the receiving core, too. You have Torrey Horton, who obviously has a lot of experience, but then three freshmen playing a bunch, and then a couple walk-ons playing a good bit, too. So it's just crazy inexperience on that offensive side. I've been looking around. I think the offensive side of the ball is probably has an argument as the most inexperienced group in the nation.
Yeah, and that's tough. It's hard to win football games when you have that much working against you. So again, a big off season coming out. It's not like it's the end of the season, but certainly got to be looking forward to the off season to get this thing right and slowly get it back on track for Colorado State. On the basketball side of things, Kevin, you got to see an exhibition game a few days ago against MSU Denver. You know, 91-52. That's perfect. All right, that's a good practice game, so to speak. But we get into the real deal starting up on Monday.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, exhibition, you know, is nice just to play other teams and get to try out some stuff against, you know, players who don't know what's coming and not practicing against yourself. So they had that, and they also had a quote-unquote secret scrimmage against Minnesota about 2 weeks ago. So they've had a couple opportunities. And, you know, I think everything is going as well, I guess, as you can hope with all the adversity they've dealt with. I mean, obviously Isaiah Stevens being hurt is the biggest one, but they've had guys out with, you know, illness, injury, all sorts of stuff. It's been a pretty chaotic preseason just through kind of misfortune. So there's a team that's in transition. You know, I don't think there's any sugarcoating that, you know, last year when this team started, they were kind of close to the finished product. Not that they didn't develop over the course of the season, but you knew from game one that they were going to be very good. Whereas this year, I think you're going to see a lot of change and growth from game one to game, you know, 36 or whatever.
What kind of, when you look at how many changes they've had, obviously David Roddy, we knew that was coming with Isaiah Stevens being out for a while. How do you see this team functioning? You know, so much of it was through David Roddy or even with Isaiah Stevens running the show here. What kind of offense do you see Nico Medved putting together to start the season?
Yeah, frankly, I think it's going to be pretty exciting. I think they're going to play even faster than last year. I think they're going to get up and down. And you're going to see, I guess, more balance and diversity in who's scoring. You know, if you're looking for someone to average 19 a game this year, you're going to be disappointed. But you might have four guys average 10 to 13 or something like that because, you know, that's just how they're best up, especially with Isaiah Stevens out. You're going to need different guys stepping up. But I do think we're going to see really high-paced play and a pretty exciting brand of ball. I think there are going to be times it's going to be kind of chaotic and you know, ugly and disjointed just because of the youth and change. But at times I think it'll be pretty electric too. So it's going to be pretty fascinating to watch, and you know, especially that point guard position with Isaiah out. You know, how do Baylor Hebb, and Tavi Jackson handle it?
Yeah, no, a lot of questions, and I'm excited to see this team in action. Get back to Moby Madness there starting up on Monday. Kevin, I'll look forward to catching up with you later today when we get to Rams Weekly starting at 5 o'clock. We'll delve into a little bit more of the specifics surrounding the football program and a look ahead at the basketball team.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Plenty to talk about.
All right, man. Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and he's our CSU Rams insider. If you want Colorado State insight, you go no further than what Kevin's doing at the Coloradoan. 47 minutes after the hour. Before we break here, let me tell you about Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. They provide orthopedic services for injured workers as well. They understand how important it is to quickly treat workplace injuries and help you get back to work. So should an unfortunate accident happen, they would love to be your partner in getting your employee or getting you back healthy and back to work from an orthopedic injury. That's Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. Check out their website at orthohealth.com. 48 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll round out hour number one coming up next. More on the Denver Broncos. Where does George Payton stand at this stage? You know, he's wheeling and dealing, and he has been since he's been here. How much of what he's had to do has just been recovery for what John Elway did in his last 4 or 5 years with the Broncos organization? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Try not to lose you to our good change.
Hear the latest on your local football teams during your drive to work with Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Had a fun interview yesterday with Gino Told You So Rivera. That was fun. Totally in character, getting set for his matchup against Brian Kendrick. It's going to be in Greeley. Battleground Pro Wrestling presents November Pain at the Greeley Rec Center, November 5th, so that's Saturday. Doors open at 5:30. As we said, former WWE star Brian Kendrick will be fighting Gino Told You So Rivera in the main event. Great wrestlers from all over the country, New Mexico, California, all over the place, man. Oklahoma, Nevada, and Colorado. Seating's limited. Get pre-sale tickets at battlegroundprowrestling.com. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Do you think the Bradley Chubb trade means the Broncos are waving the white flag on the season? And no, I don't. And last year, again, I felt much differently about it because of, you know, we all kind of thought Vic Fangio was on his way out. We all thought, okay, Teddy Bridgewater, this is not the plan here at quarterback. But so much of this still just hinges on Russell Wilson being a good quarterback. And we haven't seen it. He's not, right now, you wouldn't say he's a good quarterback. And Nathaniel Hackett, I think he's made improvements. He's gotten a little bit better. But I just don't know how patient everybody's going to be now. The Walton Penner Group talking a lot about how they, and the time is now. We want to get this thing right now. We spent a lot of money on this organization, and this would be year 7 of missing the playoffs. You know, we had a texter a few weeks ago or days ago that was like, Broncos fans are so impatient. 6 years of no playoffs. That'll do it to you. Especially with an organization that's used to being in the playoffs more often than not, and certainly not having losing seasons.
Yeah, and the only other team that has a near similar playoff drought is the Jets. And I think the Dolphins, they haven't been since 2016. You have every right to be impatient because you were promised so much this year and it hasn't lived up to it.
And you've just been through so much garbage over the years. I mean, not just the head coaching carousel. I mean, the head coaches left and right here. Going back to when John Elway first started, it was John Fox, Gary Kubiak, Vance Joseph, Vic Fangio. And now you're on with Nathaniel Hackett. But the amount of quarterbacks, the most important position in the league, you have cycled through so many different guys, and none of them ever really jumped out of the page.
You almost need that jersey with all the names
you
taped on it.
Yeah, it's gotten to that point. This is what the Commanders deal with. This is what those teams deal with, not what the Broncos are supposed to deal with. This is an organization that was used to Mike Shanahan for year after year after year. And yeah, you got a little spoiled with Peyton Manning. That was a nice get, but the Broncos got to find a way to get this thing right. And the idea was that this Russell Wilson thing would really pay off. And so far, not quite so good. 11:57 the time. Second hour coming up next. We got the Lunch Rush, future headlines, a little CU Buffs basketball. We'll talk to Tad Boyle later on in the program as well. Got my Thursday night special, all that and more. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.